I shall not be afraid, cause
I'm failing
me when I say
at night. You know, I have no roof over them head. Of Ras Ista J, as, out of nowhere, so as we recall and remember, like Junior Manning, my brother. Yes, for years we talked about this. The apology came. The apology came in Parliament. But we've got someone to talk about. My brother Junior did not mention Bustamante. You might want to know that. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. We've been demanding an apology for years, and it came. Let's see where we go from here. Let's take a quick break, and we come back. We remember.
Do you?
There was an investigation.
Do you?
Many conversations on that as we recall the spirit of Ras Ista J, Junior Manning, in this space, at this place, in this time.
Get chop and man get shot.
The public defender investigated. And we must congratulate and commend the public defender for the work that she did in bringing it all together. The survivors we talked about just now.
Yes, not to remember.
Documented in the public defender's report, an investigation into the April 1963 incident at Coral Gardens. Thank you so much, my brother Joe Lewis. For this song, because when we put it in writing like this and set it to music, it helps to ensure that we honor our moral obligation to remember.
Do you remember Coral Gardens?
Man had to pretend that they didn't know John.
I remember Mama Fire in 2010 when the police came to her place and cut down the tabernacle and destroyed a building. And I doubt if from that time until now anything progressive has been done on that land. So there are a lot of other issues. But I think the issue that the Prime Minister was dealing with was specifically the Coral Garden issue.
All right, let's
now it's the iron as Rastafari now to take the wider issue to the forefront.
All right, let us hear from our brother, another
this
survivor.
This is Rastafari. I accepted the apology that the Prime Minister have said.
As a survivor.
As a survivor.
Yes.
But the Prime Minister forgot what the public defender says. And Dr. Barr told the Rastafari, the elders, the public defender told us that the government will make two awards. One is for the surviving elders. They will get a package of money and rest their case. And the survivors, a fund would be set up.
Yes.
And their families would inherit some benefit from that fund.
Okay.
Dr. Chang again attested to that last year, August, while we were venting our anger in Chancellor Square. He came out there and told us that what we're dealing with, we should stop it because he, right as he speak now, he was dealing with our case.
Mm-hmm.
And they already thought out what to do. He says, the 13 elders, he's the one who let me know that this was 13 elders alive, Dr. Chang. The 13 elders would be getting a package of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining brothers, the brothers that pass off, mm-hmm. their families would get some benefit from some funds that they're going to set up. And I don't hear the Prime Minister mention nothing about that. And we are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We need medicine, we need food, we need raiment. Because Rasta has been isolated from the beginning and we are still being isolated. We are left alone. We need the package of money that they say they want to give us. And that's the only thing we want to hear from the Prime Minister, what they agreed to do. Come
right.
and do it.
All right. Let me see, Sanani, Secretary of the Choral Guard.
Yes, greetings to the listeners. And what my opinion of the apology now is that the apology missed the mark. There was an apology, but it didn't go to it was misdirected. When we had a meeting with the ad hoc committee in May 2016, we advised them. In fact, they were asking us what took place, and we gave them the history of the event. And we because you could see that some people just knew that there was something happened at Choral Guard, but no details. We advised them that they should keep us in the keep a dialogue with us, so that when the apology eventually comes out, it won't be something that we would have to reject. I remember Ica telling them particularly that. Now, since then, they have completely ignored us, and it based on that apology, when I read the text of it, you can see the ignorance of the Prime Minister with respect to what took place at Choral Gardens. Because what happened is that he has apologized for the Choral Gardens incident and mentioned 2 days, April 11 and April 12. We have been demanding an apology for the incidents or for the atrocities that were committed as a result of the Choral Garden incident. So the atrocities were committed to Rastafari island-wide.
Yes.
And it continued over not only the year 1963, but onwards, in the sense that just being Rastafari, you are caught, imprisoned, subjected to say you're guilty for ganja, and trimmed. So those are the atrocities that took place. The 2 days in Choral Gardens is a different matter altogether.
Yes.
What we are saying is that it is sustained rounding up of Rastafari, brutality to Rastafari, false imprisonment. That is what we want an apology for.
All right. Now that we have had the initial comments, we're going to listen to the apology itself and then come back to continue the conversation. The public defender is standing by to also join us on the phone line. She was here before, and we are apologizing profusely to the public defender because she's been standing by for a good while now to comment on the apology. But let me go now to the apology itself as it was delivered in Parliament by the Prime Minister of Jamaica, Andrew Holness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in my budget presentation on the 21st of March, 2017, I committed to making an apology for what has come to be commonly referred to as the Choral Gardens, one which occurred at a time in our history when our society was more reflective of the colonial era. Mr. Speaker, violence flared up at Coral Gardens, leading to the death of civilians and security officers, significant personal injuries, and destruction of property. This has been a source of pain, of great pain and hurt for the Rastafarian community, and generated bitterness and resentment over the years. Mr. Speaker, the incident stands out as an example of the use of violence by the state against its citizens. This month would mark the 54th anniversary of this incident. In fact, April 11th would be the 54th anniversary. Mr. Speaker, though this has happened some time ago, more than half a century ago, if we are to truly change our society from being a violent society, then we must, Mr. Speaker, take ownership of the wrongs of the past and make genuine attempts at correcting them. We cannot restore life. We may not be able to restore property that was destroyed. And we certainly may not be able to heal those who suffered. But it is important that the state acknowledges when a wrong was done and commit sincerely and solemnly not to allow these wrongs to happen again. Today I'm honoring the commitment to tender an apology. Mr. Speaker, the public defender has published a report on the tragic events that took place between Thursday, April 11th and Friday, April 12th, 1963 at Coral Gardens, a farming community 10 miles east of Montego Bay. The public defender's report provides an official account and analysis of the Coral Gardens incident. We wish to acknowledge and recognize the report as an important first step in our national effort to reflect on, in a very focused way, an unfortunate chapter in our history. Mr. Speaker, the Cabinet, subsequent on the report, appointed a subcommittee to review the report and guide us as to what we should accept from the recommendations in the report. I would like, Mr. Speaker, to thank the public defender in doing the report, and I would also like to thank the members of the Haddock Committee of Parliament, of Cabinet rather, that reviewed the report. The committee was chaired by the Honourable Derek Smith, the Honourable Babsy Grange, Honourable Mike Henry, the Honourable Dr. Horace Chang, the Honourable Delroy Chuck, Honourable Favour Williams, and the Attorney General, Marlene Malahu Fort, were all members of the committee that reviewed the report. Mr. Speaker, today's statement marks a milestone in Jamaica's history and development. As proud Jamaicans, we value and honor our present-day constitutional democracy, built on our rich and, in many instances, painful heritage of struggle and suffering. However, notwithstanding the inhumane treatment and repression, there were and continue to be narratives of resilience, many still untold, of great achievements and victories for those who endured. We have been able to draw on these experiences to hone an unbridled creative imagination that has presented to the world unique and innovative sounds, images, icons, and a way of life that have brought us recognition and pride. Pain, born of the past, however, still resides in the hearts of many. Fellow Jamaicans, the Coral Gardens incident was a grave injustice. The government acknowledges that the machinery of the Jamaican state evolved out of an era when it was considered appropriate to utilize the heavy hand of the state against citizens. Today, without equivocation, we apologize for what occurred in Coral Gardens. We express our regret and sorrow for this chapter in our national life that was characterized by brutality, injustice, and repression, which was wrong and should never be repeated. In expressing our regret as a people and as a community, we have taken a symbolic yet courageous and pivotal move, which means that we can face the future with renewed hope, with increased resolve, and with a true spirit of reconciliation. In keeping with our Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms, which amended our Constitution in 2011, the government of Jamaica assures this great nation that we will continue to strive to ensure that unjust incidents and discriminatory actions such as occurred at Coral Gardens are never allowed to happen again. Whilst I know that this cannot erase the brutality, oppression, and injustice which was meted out during the tragedy, I am comforted by the willingness of the members of the Rastafari Coral Gardens Benevolent Society to keep the dialogue going. I am happy to have finally reached the point where we can discuss concrete and tangible actions which can ease some of the heavy burdens that survivors and the community have faced. The actions agreed include the following. One, the public defender is to be asked to continue the work that our office began in terms of locating survivors and gathering important background social information about them and their families, in consultation with the Rastafari Coral Gardens Benevolent Society and the Member of Parliament for the area. The office will utilize the list of survivors provided by the Rastafari Coral Gardens Benevolent Society as the base for continuing the work. The Coral Gardens Benevolent Society will be given advice and assisted in accessing resources and benefits for its members that are already available through a number of avenues. Three, a trust fund of no less than $10 million will be established for the benefit of survivors of the Coral Gardens incident. And in this regard, I will work alongside the Ministry of Finance and the Public Service and all relevant stakeholders to ensure that the fund is set up properly and with due regard for the needs of those it is meant to benefit. And four, in keeping with the principle of cultural preservation, 6 lots at the property at Pinnacle in St. Catherine will be declared by the Jamaica National Heritage Trust as protected heritage sites and will be developed as a Rastafari village and cultural center. Once again, Mr. Speaker, I wish to thank the members of the Rastafari Coral Gardens Benevolent Society and all who worked in putting together the report and preparing the apology and coming to this point where I can stand in front of the Parliament facing the people of Jamaica to make a solemn and sincere apology for the wrongs of the past to the people of our country. Mr. Speaker, I thank you for overstand.
Going to the phone lines to speak with Pan African Attorney at Law, Mr. Bert Samuels, who is also.
I tell you what, some people got everything.
The attorney.
Some people got nothing.
Advising the Coral Gardens. Benevolent. Society. Bert Samuels himself is a member of the National Commission on Reparations.
We're the survivors. Yes, the black survivors. Yes, yeah. We're the survivors.
My brother Bert Samuels.
Mr. Kaboo, how are you?
I am doing very well. If you two are well.
I am.
Give thanks. Bert, so now we've had an apology from the Prime Minister. No, you're representing the Coral Gardens Benevolent Society. Members are in the studio right here with us. From a legal perspective, give us your legal view on the apology.
Well, an apology is not necessarily a legal requirement when something is wrong, as someone has been wrong. Legally speaking, within 6 years of the events, the Rastafarian Brethren should have taken the matter to court so that they stay within the statute of limitations. So that technically speaking, by 1963, 6 years after 1969, it should have been taken to take a legal recourse so that the government is not obliged to give an apology. It's not legally obliged to do it, but they have offered an apology, and that has opened the door of an admission of wrong, etc. So legally, it's not something that must be done, but it is something that opens the door for an admission of wrong, as brethren have been saying since morning.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the apology leads to compensation. Reparations.
Mm-hmm. And you have been looking, you've looked closely at the document itself, the apology.
Yeah.
We have been saying it's open-ended. I think it is. Can you explain to us what the apology means now, Farai? Where do they go with this? What is it really saying?
Well, as you know, and I would have told you that I met with the select committee of the cabinet at Jamaica House last May, when we made representations as to what we thought should be in the apology, and that we would have wanted to see the apology before it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
I think the apology was sent to us within about 24 hours before the Prime Minister spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is that we wanted a negotiated apology. The terms of it should have been negotiated. Unfortunately, it wasn't sent to us in time so that we could have contributed to what it ought to have had in its content. So
mm-hmm.
one of the failings in how it was conducted is that we really thought that we'd have participated in how it should be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, it came, and as you say, it's open-ended, and part of the criticism, I've taken instructions from my clients, and they're of the view, and I've heard them repeating it to you since morning, that it should have been wider than prior to, wider than the events of April 1963, because the Coral Gardens treatment of Rastafari was just a culmination of an attitude to a religious sect which has been persecuted before 1963 and after 1963. You want to see after 1963, when events happened, to see the notes in the parliament, when parliamentarians were debating and they were asking for stronger, more repressive laws against Rastafari in the form of ganja.
Mm-hmm.
And they debated in the parliament after Coral Gardens and got the fines to be increased.
Yes.
So there was what you call legislative oppression against Rastafari.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that once it was mandatory, I guess young people wouldn't know that if a Rastafarian man was spotted a spliff, he would be sent to prison. There's no fine for him to pay. And forthwith his locks were trimmed, and that transgression of a religious sect, whilst the constitution was there, because we got the constitution in 62, and therefore, you know, religious freedom we thought we would have had. Rastafari's have not enjoyed that religious freedom in terms of the trimming of Rasta. I mean, I don't know how you could compensate a Rasta man having trimmed him. I really, I don't think money can compensate for that. And many of the victims were trimmed, having been sentenced, and before they were sentenced. Now, it's interesting, the police trim them before they face the court.
Yes.
So that oppression, I mean, this morning my blood run cold, you know, when I heard you speaking at the beginning of the program, calling the names and what happened to several of them. It still hurts me to know that that could have happened. And trimming of Rastafari continued in the penal institutions up to 2003. I had the privilege of being the attorney who argued and then stopped them from trimming Rastafari in 2003. It was going on right up until just the other day.
So bearing all of that in mind and yes. also looking closely at the document from the public defender,
yes.
where she spends a good time at the beginning of a document talking about the oppression and the discrimination yeah. against Rastafari from the beginning, from the 1950s and even before that, the 1930s,
right.
1930s, I think is where she started. I am arguing, Bert, that the
yes.
door is left open through the apology in its three different segments for
yes.
all of that now to be brought to the table. Am I right in or wrong in thinking so?
You must, because, Kabu, can we deny that Brand Jamaica that we all boast about and Bob Marley and reggae music and Rastafari language becoming an international language? Rastafari has put Jamaica on the map. And where's the compensation for them? We have left them behind as if we were using them. That's what in Jamaican pure language, what we do, we are using Rastafari. Because when it's sweet up, we put the ice, green, and gold colors around the place and want that to represent almost above the flag of Jamaica. So we use the culture that they have given to us. We use the language that they have given to us. And the compensation has lagged behind. When people go abroad, they're embarrassed to know how we could treat Rastafari the way they are treated when Jamaica is, the name Jamaica is almost the same as Rastafari in many international arenas.
Sure,
so, you know, how do we compensate this sect who have been oppressed? And most of them, and I check with Brother Aika, 95% of the brothers have passed, you know, they have not been able to witness the apology.
That's right, the survivors.
Yes.
But we are the survivors.
Yes, we must make sure to do this right. Because remember the hypocrisy of us asking for reparation from the British
right.
when we have internal events that we must ourselves deal with. And that is why I think that when we deal with this issue, we are sending a signal to England that, listen, we are coming for you because we are cleaning up our own house.
And what kind of signal do we send if it is that our own level of compensation is at a very low bar?
Let's look at the compensation now.
So let us talk about the compensation.
I will tell you this now.
Yes.
If a court, for example, listen, when you said that one of the victims had his foot broken and he was not able to walk properly again and died not too long after, I could tell you that today that $10 million with all that was done to that one individual would be about the compensation he would get today. That one person.
Am I
telling you what the $10 million really is?
Exactly. So does it make a difference from a legal perspective that the apology and the public defender's recommendation that they both use the term no less than $10 million? Does that mean that it is $10 million or you can get more than $10
million? Yes, in technical terms, it means it mustn't fall below $10 million. But if that's the watermark, the benchmark, rather, a good guess from me is that we should look at the number of victims and put an average of how much millions for each of them and do that. Because remember, the survivors, the family are entitled. I mean, if I, God forbid, someone hits me down and I die in a motor vehicle accident, my children can sue the driver as part of the estate and get compensation for their loss of me. So let us not push off the whole idea that the families of these persons who have died without compensation But for the statute of limitation, and the government has removed the statute of limitation, as far as I know, for the Timberlake incursion, they say they won't use that against any applicant.
Mm-hmm.
We still can have a case where these cases are brought before the courts for compensation, and the government makes a commitment that they will not rely on the defense of the statute of limitation. That is, that 6 years have already passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the whole of it, but it needs to be attended to in a wider way, because the oppression is, you know, Brother Aika is making the point that, listen, Rastafari has been trimmed before Coral Gardens, after Coral Gardens. So we isolate Coral Gardens. It's just a spot in it. Can mm-hmm. I tell you this, Kabu, that when I was in Barbados in 1975 studying, a police officer who became a law student told me that in his training, when he was being trained to be a police officer in 1967, he would have his shield and they would have the baton. And what the person in command of them would tell him at the training school in Port Royal, are you afraid of the Rastas? And every time they say no, they were asked to swing the baton.
Mm.
That was part of the training of the police officers.
And what's interesting is that it contained within the public defender's investigative report, which was handed to Parliament, that is also stated there. As a matter of fact, a police officer who was interviewed told the public defender that Rastafarians, the image of the Rastafarian, was used as target practice. By the police force.
Yes.
So what would you advise your clients to do now in going ahead, knowing all that you've heard, seeing all
that? Well, let me tell you another avenue, because, you know, sometimes you don't go to court as the first stop. Yeah. In the Ministry of Justice, there is a Department for Reparatory Justice Matters, and we intend to approach the Ministry of Justice to sit around a table to discuss the whole idea, because part of the government's policy is reparatory justice, and this falls squarely in that. What it means is that we may not sit before a judge, but we may sit before, you know, a bureaucrat to determine what the survivors, the names of the family, the children, the grandchildren of these Rastafarians who were disgraced and mauled by the police and trimmed. And we see if we can take them one by one, and we the compensation victim by victim. So the first stop, and my advice, is that we would do the reparatory compensation justice in the Ministry of Justice, because that has been recognized as an outside of court way of dealing with matters.
Yes. All right. So that sounds like a good way to go.
Yeah.
Bert Summers, thank you so much as usual, adding and shedding some light to another vexing issue, the apology as it stands. I personally, and I've been saying it all morning, I think it was good that an apology was given. I think everybody in the studio is actually saying that. It's an acknowledgement. That's where we start. Now, let the real discussions.
Can you imagine that 50 odd years ago, so the generation listening to your program now, they don't even know about this event?
No. 54 years.
That is why, I mean, in 1963, that's how many years? 54 years.
54 years.
I mean, that's why, you know, you had to be a very young man to be alive today.
Yes.
If you were a victim.
And we have survivors in the studio with us this morning.
Oh, yeah. Look at these young police officers beating big men.
Yes.
Look at that. A lot of these Rastafarians were elders, you know, and these young policemen beating them and trimming their hair.
And that hasn't changed, and that is why the 13-point plan, as read this morning, is important, because it talks about entrenching in the education ministry, in the constitution, at whatever level you can entrench this. Mutual respect of Rastafarians, to talk about educational achievement, economic opportunities, social engagement.
What about the children who were not able to go to school because they had their locks? Are we going to compensate them too?
Stolen generations.
Yes.
So these are questions to be answered. It seems to me as if the Prime Minister's apology has presented an excellent, however much late, 54 years after.
I think before he was born.
Yes. An excellent opportunity now to go forth and get this done properly. Thank you so much, Bert.
Respect. Greetings to the brethren and sisters in the studio. Respect.
Oh, joy and blessing to you, my brother.
My love.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Bert Samuels there, a Pan-African attorney at law representing the Coral Gardens Benevolent Society. So lots of work, Aika.
Very much so, you know. And like he said, you know, the next stage of the journey right now is to see how we can come together with the community or selected persons within the community who have that kind of an interest, and see if we can put a package together, look at the 13-point documents that we have there, and see if we can chart a way forward along with the advice from the lawyers who are advising us the same way still. But reparatory justice is definitely the next avenue we are trying to exhaust.
Mr. Hervey, this is a long fight. I mean, Ister J handed the baton to you. You handed the baton to us, Aika. We have been talking. I mean, Ister J, his spirit is present today, but he's absent. He himself transcended. I started these conversations with him way back in the early 1990s with Bongo Beard and so on. Remember those days? We were having those conversations. And always a question came up of apology, reparation, and repatriation. Where are we? I mean, where do we go from here now?
Well, first, you know, I want to give thanks for Ister J, Bongo Joe, Bongo Manny, Data Nama, all those who started the agitation, you know. I really want to give thanks for them. And give thanks for the opportunity that I could have participated, you know. I also want to give thanks for Earl Whitta, because, you know, he is a public defender that in 2011, I met him in 2010, and 2011 July, he sent 5 investigators to pick 4, and they spent 3 days, and that is where the investigation started, you know?
I think it started with Mr. Right, so I think it started with Mr. Hamilton, actually, just to set the record straight with...
Yeah,
Junior and
Howard Hamilton.
Yes.
They were the first one. But in terms of the real investigation, Earl Whitta started, so I really have to give thanks for him, you know? Mm-hmm. But in terms of... the recommendation, I mean, like I've been saying, it, Sister Nana has been reading it. It's years upon years that we've been, not only where the Color Garden incident is concerned, but as far back as 1987, we started marching when we celebrated Marcus Garvey's centenary. And we used to march every 17th of August, every 1st of March, every 1st of February. We've always been calling on the government for restructuring of the educational system, the decriminalization, legalization of ganja, and the whole repatriation, reparation issue. Where it is now, we give thanks for the decriminalization that has taken place. We still look forward that the government would say, just stop locking up people for small amount of herb. Not just stop locking up, but stop
charging. So this is
charging.
All part and parcel of it, of the 11 point. Of the right. 13 point, sorry, I keep saying that, but of the 13 point. So my question is, because we have had this conversation already, this is why I'm interrupting. So we have said this and we have said this and we have said this. What now?
Yes, so I'm saying no. Like I said, it is for the wider community to give support to the Color Garden Benevolent Society. And approach again the whole issue of reparatory justice, but there must be a continuous dialogue between the government and the Rastafari community in order that the Rastafari community can continue to remind the government that these are the issues, and we have to become more vocal within ourselves. We have to become more mobilized, because I don't think anything is going to be achieved without pressure on the government. I think I and I as Rastafari community have to keep the pressure outside. We have to keep the pressure inside. That is the only way we're going to achieve our human objective.
Let me get some final words from the elders before I go back to the members of the Coral Gardens Benevolent Society, survivors in the studio with us this morning, in terms of, you know, where you see this going.
Take part with us until this day. It is good, and we are fighting. We're not stopping this struggle. But why I have to say no? 10 million, we set up there, as the fundraiser say. We supposed to get some money before that set up. That mean a background, but it can be the first place. No.
Because
we need some money now.
54 years.
53 around 9 years today. 11 months and 90 today, because Tuesday is it full 54.
Yes.
So we give thanks to Jah, IRFM, and all the advocates which deal with us. Praises.
Give thanks.
I give what Brother Bert Samuel said. I agree with that. I agree with Brother Bert Samuel to see where they will carry to, because they are the only ones that can put this straight. And what he has said to me, I feel comfortable that something will come out of it, what Brother Bruce Summer says.
And we hope in short order.
Of recommendation, recompense for
right. No more elder transcending before this is done. We wanted to go overseas to speak with Bongo Frank, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that this morning. So apologies to Bongo Frank, who is actually overseas. My brother, Bongo Bone.
Yes, yes.
Just some final thoughts from you.
Well, as you know, from time to time, all these brethren here, survivors, all these brethren here,
lock them up without the survivors.
We wouldn't mind lock them up without the cause.
You're asking for
expulsion of the heroes.
You're asking for
these
expulsion of the heroes. These brethren are our heroes. If they were not speaking of Africa, we wouldn't be speaking of Africa today. So we want them records to be expulsed as well.
And that's a very good point, because yes. Having been tried and falsely, and found accused. Guilty, you remain criminals on the books, don't it?
Definitely. So their records should be wiped away.
Very
as
good
a
point.
Part of the...
Is that in the 13th point? All right.
It's not there, but we'd follow up on
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because these brethren were tried, and because of a little ganja... some of them didn't even have no ganja, and they were locked up.
Charged for vagrancy and malicious,
and they spent months in prison.
Weird situation,
definitely.
All those charges that they managed to come up with back then.
Yes,
but good point, Bongo.
Yes, so we want the government to take that into consideration as well.
Yes,
but in Tunis, they need to get some cash in them on.
Yes,
all of them, they are suffer from medical illness, and their medical bill is so high. Many times we and Brother Ica and brethren, we have to dig in our pocket to help them.
Yeah, man.
So the call should have been made already.
Definitely.
It's since the apology in Parliament and way before that. But the call should have been made already to ensure that the survivors, that there's something put in place.
Definitely.
To deal with the survivors.
And one other thing about it, I don't want them to wait too long neither.
That is the point.
Because these brethren are suffering.
My sister, Nani.
June, I will be 82.
You'll be 82 in June. 82.
76.
All right, see that? Yes.
If this is the final word, well, I just want to thank all the members of the Rastafari community who came out and supported us on April 4 to bring it to this stage, because it was the pressure of that march that caused that I think really influenced the decision of the Prime Minister, because it is the same date, April 4, we marched, April 4, the apology finally came out. And I want to thank them for their support. I want to remind the community and the wider society that we are having a commemoration on the 14th, this coming Friday, at the Montego Bay Cultural Center in Sam Sharp Square. We want them to come out and support us. We are going to have a banquet for the elders, as we usually do every year. And we have in fact invited the Prime Minister if he could come and look face to face with the elders and apologize to them. I think they would feel much better. So we have invited him. I don't know if he will come or if he will send a suitable representative, but we have opened the doors there. And we are proceeding we will have a stage show at the end with different artists. But in terms of our legal action, we have already lodged a complaint with the Restorative Justice Unit of the Ministry of Justice, and we are awaiting their call for us to sit around a table and have dialogue, mm-hmm. with constructive dialogue towards mm-hmm. really solving this matter once and for all.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, my sister. And the final word to you, as I call.
I say, Aluta continue. And we give thanks to the Almighty Jah Rastafari for give I and I the wise mind, the strength, and the vigor to carry this 50 years agitation to a point like this. I know is a victory of good over evil. Believe you me, even though we don't collect the raw material substances, but morally, this should be an encouragement to the Rastafari community, just like when Haile Selassie I come in at 66, we know say, with faith and works, we can achieve Haile Selassie I.
Come on. Can I just quickly point out that the University of the West Indies Western Campus will be having something to commemorate the Coral Garden incident. at 2 o'clock at the Western campus. So
which
we
day?
Just want to invite people to,
today?
You know?
Today?
The university, yeah.
When?
On Thursday,
okay.
2 o'clock, the okay. University of Western Campus.
All right, get thanks. Give thanks to the brethren and sister who made it to the studio this morning. Members of the Coral Gardens Benevolent Society.
I saw this one. song was made popular by the incredible Jackson 5. And it's always been one of my favorite songs, and we hope it's yours. It's called I'll Be There.